Town in Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Andrew Shores in for Kathy Dawes. And with me for the next 7 or 8 minutes, Homeland Security and NBAF Director of Partnership Development, Marty Vanier. And Marty, earlier we were talking about an emergency response exercise at NBAF earlier this fall. And it sounds like there were some kinks involved, but overall, would you say it went well?
I think it did. And once again, this was an exercise that was done by the Department of Agriculture, and I was merely an observer. So they are, at this point, analyzing all of the information that they have from all of the folks who were involved in the exercise. They'll be looking at that. They will be assessing their plan to decide what things worked really well, what things maybe didn't work quite so well, and what do we need to then change or do differently in the plan. So that's something that they've been doing for a number of years. Kudos to them. Kansas is considered a leader in this respect in understanding response to significant diseases and understanding the sort of lean forward aspect of it. What are the things that you're going to have to deal with? What do you need to know? And a very important thing that they dealt with that most groups don't ever get to is recovery. What do you do after the event? How do you get people's lives back? How do you get businesses back up and running, particularly the livestock industry? So how do you do that? We don't have a lot of answers, but the conversation has started, and that's the important part. Now, that actually may be something that NBAF is involved in, because one of the things that you have to look at is you have to look at always distinguishing animals that may be infected from animals that are not infected. And when you get into these really significant diseases, there are only certain laboratories that are approved to run the tests for those diseases. NBAF will be one of them. So now, as people are trying to get their lives back and they're trying to get their businesses back and they're trying to get their feed yard up and running, or they're trying to get, you know, their cow herd back together, there will have to be some testing to demonstrate that certain animals are not infected, have never been infected, and therefore can go on into production. So that would be the kind of thing where either NBAF would work on directly, or a lot of the research that NBAF does on diagnostic testing would be used to help get those people back up and running.
I know a lot of people may think the idea of these diseases being in Manhattan, Kansas, in a laboratory is concerning, but I mean, I think it's fascinating to think that a laboratory on the campus of Kansas State University will have that sort of impact.
It's a huge impact, and as we get farther through time, both with construction of the building and planning of operations, you know, my intent is to help people understand a lot of the engineering in the building, a lot of the procedures that will be in place for handling these pathogens. You know, the folks who do this work do not take this lightly. They understand the significance of what they're doing. They understand the nature of the pathogens that they work with. They understand the risk. And they do everything possible, not only in just how the building is engineered, but how it's operated, you know, who goes where, when, and why, and how, down to the research in the individual laboratories and what equipment is there and how that equipment is handled and how that equipment is decontaminated at the end of a study. All of that is planned in incredible detail. And so hopefully I and whoever follows me can help the community understand all of those factors that have to come together. And it's incredibly complex. I only have the highest level understanding of it, but the nature of it is just incredible and very complex. And it's all about keeping the workers safe, keeping the community safe, and keeping our livestock industry safe.
Sounds like some great work. And we only have a few minutes left, but I know recently you also had a contract approved for some planning activities to be done at NBAF. And what's that all about, and how does that maybe relate to what we're seeing out there right now?
Well, at this point, there's been a competition for a contract to do the operational planning and technology integration for the laboratory. That contract will be awarded in the next couple of months. That will be a contractor that will come in who has met all of the requirements for understanding the nature of the laboratory, understanding the level of planning that needs to take place, understand the various areas in which planning is necessary. So that will start this year. And that the planning for all of these things is incredibly complex because it will be everything from staffing levels, how many people will be in the building, what particular kinds of jobs do we need to have, and when I say jobs, I mean position descriptions. We're going to have people who understand how to run the central utility plant. We're going to have people who understand the airflow system. We're going to have people who understand the various bits of research equipment that will be in the laboratory. We'll have to have people who can take care of the animals. We'll have to have administrative and support staff. We'll have to have security staff. We'll have to have IT people. So a whole plethora of folks who are going to be involved in running this building. It's a building, but it's also an incredibly complex machine. So all of that planning will start now this year when the OPTIC contract is awarded.
Well, and it's been interesting seeing NBAF looked at from a macro level where you see the cranes and the concrete, and now you're starting to look at things from a micro level. And perhaps this is where things get much more difficult, just because I would have been under the assumption that since this is a federal laboratory, that it would just be staffed by people that they hired. But that maybe the positions from Plum Island would carry over, but that's not the case then.
Well, essentially, the positions from Plum Island will carry over, but understand that Plum Island is about 1/4 or 1/5 the size of NBAF. So automatically, you're going to need more people. You're going to need more people. So even if everyone from Plum Island came, we still were going to need more people. The other thing to understand is that because NBAF is brand new and Plum Island is not, then the technology used to run the building, to handle the air, to condition the air, all of the research equipment, all of the waste management equipment is all brand new and completely different from what's at Plum Island. So you have to have people who are specially trained on this equipment because, as you might imagine, this isn't a standard heating and air conditioning situation. It's very complex and very technical because it is an important part of keeping the workers safe, keeping the building safe, keeping the community safe. So you have to have very specialized people who can run those things. That's what we have to understand and plan for.
Well, it'll be fascinating to see further developments. Unfortunately, we're out of time here on In Focus, but with us this morning, we've had Homeland Security and NBAF Director of Partnership Development, Marty Veneer, here on In Focus. Coming up next, Governor's Military Council Executive Director, Perry Wiggins. This is In Focus here on News Radio KMAN.